of the ethics and neurotologists to say Espenik.
Today I would definitely start again thanking Annie Arti and in particular Elio Drago for inviting me here to talk about pain management in pediatric critical care on behalf of the European Society of Pediatric and Neonatal Intensive Care and as well on behalf of the European Federation of Critical Care Nursing Associations. So the next half hour we will talk and I'll give a brief overview about the European perspective. In particular, this topic I'm very proud to be here as it is pain management. It's our major research line in our Erasmus Medical Center, in particular Sophia Children's Hospital. So for the next half hour, I will run through a few scientific articles to implement the evidence, the scientific evidence into practice, see about efficiency and effectivity by using any pain measurement instruments, and definitely the autonomy of our professional. Because the past two speakers, Maria Cristina Rossi from Torino and Rita Maglioni from Roma, I think they have given a very good theoretical framework and related that to practice. As we have yesterday and as well this morning seen the definition of pain by the International Association of Studies of Pain, I would like to add a little note to this, which is on this belongs to the definition. So the definition is an unpleasant sensory or emotional experience associated with actual and potential or potential tissue damage, or described in terms of such damage. Well, that's very nice. But when it concerns children, for instance, I think this note is very critical. The note is the inability to communicate verbally does not negate the possibility that an individual is experiencing pain and is in need of appropriate pain relief and treatment. So looking at this note and looking at children, and in particular small children, they do not have always the ability to communicate with you, hello, nurse, I need some pain management. So let us go to pain and culture, as I'm talking from the European perspective. Pain response, a child's response to pain and reaction pain differs per religion, but also per culture. For instance, British children tend to be stoical, but prefer to have company when they are in pain. And then, if you look to the Australian children, they prefer to be alone. So what about the Italian children? The Italian children tend to be more depressed and honest about their pain and concerned that they should be given immediate pain relief. And if you go to Africa, to the Kikuyu and the Maasai men, they are expected to be quiet and dignified about their pain, but women are not. Well, let's go and take a look at a very nice article published in the Journal of Pain Symptoms and Management by Salantera in 1999. They look at the nurses' knowledge about pharmacological and non-pharmacological pain management in children. They've set up a questionnaire with 9 general questions about non-pharmacological pain interventions and 23 statements about pharmacological interventions additional. And then there was, in the second section, there were 21 questionnaires about non-pharmacological interventions and 4 questions about the nurse's own opinion about their pain management. So it's a big study in 5 hospitals in Finland, our colleagues in Finland. 265 nurses filled in this questionnaire. And it came out that the education and area of expertise was significant influence the knowledge of the pain management in nurses. And the use of wide range of non-pharmacological pain methods was less well known. So in conclusion, if this article in the within our Finnish colleagues, there's a need for further education, and it came out that nurses need a more active role in pain management. The second article I'd like to discuss with you is coming from Germany. It's a multi-center study published by Köhler and his colleagues in the European Journal of Pediatric Surgery. It's a multi-center study with 13 burn units in Germany, and the aim of this study was to assess and the assessment and documentation of pain management in the burn unit with children. So if you look at this graph, especially they interviewed 22 physicians and 43 nurses. So if you look at this graph, the physicians and the nurses do the red circles, the burning dressing changes on the ventilated patients. The physicians and nurses thought 100 and respectively 79% that they had sufficient pain management. However, if you go and look to the non-ventilated patients, the physicians said 59% of the physicians said that the pain management was not adequate, and the nurses found that 69% did not find the pain management adequate. If you look at the ventilated patients and the non-ventilated patients, you would almost think that the harder you cry, the less pain management you get, or the harder you cry, the nurses and physician would think, we need to have to give more medication. While the patients on the ventilator, they cannot cry. The same idea happens if you look at the two at the green circles, at the groups of the ventilated patients and the non-ventilated patients. The physician said ventilated patients, 73%, they thought pain management was adequate, and 41% on the non-ventilation patients thought the physicians they were non-adequate. The same figures came out from the nurses group. So if you look at this figure, improvement of pain therapy, that's about 50% of the nurses and doctors in these 13 units thought that they need a pain improvement policy in their unit. To conclude about this article is that there's a desire for standard documentation, algorithms for analgesics was in need, and also, these nurses and doctors said that more training in pain management was necessary. So, we talked already the past 1.5 hours also about the parents. So, how do parents experience their involvement in pain management? And just recently, in 2001, Siemens and her colleagues published an article in the journal Advanced Nursing about the parent involvement in children's pain care, and they interviewed 20 parents and 20 nurses. It was a phenomenological study method. So if you look, they came across three major items in the analysis. Item one was shared perception. However, there was a passive parental role in the pain management care. The second major item which came out was differing views. Minimizing parents' concerns and observations were recognized by both nurses and parents. And the third major item they came across was communication. So the parents, out of the interviews, the parents had expressed frustrations, and the nurses demand definitely more input. So they came into the conclusion that there was a need for nurses to discuss parental involvement and negotiate the roles. And I think if you look at these conclusions, it's very critically important, as family-centered care is one of the major issues in healthcare. Looking to the United States, where there's a new goals are set, six aims of the new goals of the quality of care, And one of these aims is patient-centered care. So that's a major issue coming up, not only in Europe, but in the US as well. So let's go back and look at the pain scale. We've seen yesterday and today many pain scales. Well, I've got a few more. On the left side of the table, you see loads of pain scales, and above on the right side, you see the items the scale measures. So what you see from above, the Cry scale measures only 4 items. The lid scale measures only 5 items, while the comfort is one of the few scales which measure the most items. Using scales, yes or not? While I was in the in Austria last week, giving a course about Hippocrates postgraduate course for intensive care nurses, in particular pediatric and neonatal intensive care nurses. 16 nurses were attending this course from 14 countries out from Europe. When we asked who is using a pain scale in their intensive care unit, only 4 nurses stand up and raise their hand. So that would be hopefully not representative for the whole intensive care unit in Europe, but it was a little bit concerning. So let's go back to the scales as well. There's the visual analog scale developed by Varney et al. Already in 87. And then you have, for children, also widely used in Europe, the Oucher scale. However, if you look at the faces from the Oucher scale, one of the critiques of the Oucher scale is the face below the zero is almost the same face. It doesn't make that much difference with that with 20. The one with 20 does not give a lot of difference with the face of a 40. So the difference is quite very close. So it's hard to discriminate what level of pain you have. That's one of the critiques. If you look at this pain scale where 0 is 1, it is no pain, and 10 is worth pain, in the Netherlands it's generally accepted those who use this scale when the number of 4, if you put the 4 as I'm having pain on 4, that from that point on and more, we generally would say we need to do something about the pain management. Any medication or comfort should be given. So now I'm very happy to show you the comfort behavior scale, which has been developed initially by Ambuel in 94, but further tested by Monique van Dijk in the Erasmus Medical Center Sophia in Rotterdam. She validated this comfort score and adjusted a few things by children between 0 and 3 years, by post-operative children only. This scale measures 6 items: alertness, calmness, agitation, respiratory response, or crying. That depends on the child. Is it on the ventilator? You have the items of respiratory response. Is it not on the ventilator? You have the items of crying. Then further items is physical movement, muscle tone, and facial tension. So the minimum score of this comfort score is 1, and the maximum could be 30. They add as well on this comfort behavior scale downstairs, there's a visual analog score as well. It's a combination of a pain scale and a comfort behavior scale. So just to show you, Jeroen Peters, another nurse and a researcher in Rotterdam, published an article how difficult it is to assess pain in children. For instance, the one on the left above, it's frightening. Sadness could be, but if you're sad, it doesn't mean that you have pain. If you're angry, it doesn't mean that you have pain. But down at the bottom on the right side of you, pain is really recognized, as this child is showing you. So it's very difficult to observe and to assess pain in children, and particularly in young children. So to let you know, So to let you know how difficult it is, I would like to challenge your observational skills, how you assess pain in children. So I'd like to present a case study here. It's a neonate of 2 days old, admitted with distended abdomen. Pain medication was rectally administered, paracetamol, and irritable during handling. So let's see what, and now I need to find off, okay, here we go. See if we can, I can challenge you and with this little movie, because we're going to use the comfort skill. And if you use the comfort skill, you need to stand next to the child and observe for 2 minutes. And can you imagine a nurse, an intensive care nurse, that you stand next to the bedside and just do nothing and observe? Many critical care nurses do a lot more in 2 minutes. They're just in a hurry, they don't have time, and that's the major concern. However, those nurses, we work now with the comfort skill. We stand and have a 2 minute observation. They say the reaction is we see a lot more as pain. We see so many, it's good to have a 2 minute stand next to the bed of the child. There's some music. Okay. Oh, there's another one. Out. So can you imagine? Can you imagine that you're standing next to the bed of your patient 2 minutes? It's quite long, isn't it? But you see a lot. You see a lot. After you have assessed the baby, observe carefully, you could see there was a hand coming to the knee. You need to do that because of the, you need to assess the muscle tone of your child. And then you fill in the form after 2 minutes. Very easy, very quickly. So if you look at this, if you look at this case, this was the score given by the nurse. A total score of the comfort behavior scale of 18 and the visual analog score was 5. So now we go to autonomy. Looking at autonomy of nurses, how far can we go? This is an algorithm using at the intensive care surgical department in our hospital. So if you look at this child, which has a comfort score of 18, that's above 17, which is a point where it is about you need to do something, and a visual analog score of 5. So we done a pain assessment. We came with a VAS of above four, which is 5, and a comfort of 18. We go continue investigative courses. We've done investigative courses, and investigative courses you have to go down that you don't need directly have to administer any medication. Now you just investigate whether impossible positioning, improve your positioning, diminish noise, decrease the light. Sometimes the children are lying on the IV lines. Make it comfortable because that might cause your pain already. Talking about the autonomy of the nurse of the unit is allowed, if the comfort is higher as 18 and the VAS is higher as 4, to investigate the course first and then, without asking the doctor, give a bolus of morphine every 10 minutes. And this is the doses you see for those children below 3 months and one of above 3 months. However, once you've given a bolus of morphine, you wait and you assess again with the comfort score, whether it has an effect, yes or not. You're not giving blindly, you're not allowed to give blindly every 3 minutes morphine doses. No, you need to assess again with the comfort score. So this is the autonomy the nurses have. This is a nurse-led pain algorithm. A nurse-led pain algorithm, although it's not documented in the science, but at least nurse-led protocols, they do have a positive impact on the outcome of our patients. I would just like to challenge you once more with a case study of a 10-week-old boy with a bilateral atresia, had undergone major surgery the previous day with a Kasai portal enterostomy. During this observation period, this child has an intravenous morphine of 10 micrograms per kilo per hour. So let's see if we can try to have this case again. It's 2 minutes. I'll just like to challenge you. Okay. Let's check what this has been rated, yes or not. Alertness 3, calm 3, respiratory response 2, physical movement 3, muscle tone 3, coming facial tension 2, coming to a total score of 16, and a VAS score, a pain score of 2.5. Whether it's right or not, if once you're not satisfied, you definitely you can ask a colleague nurse to have another assessment done. So if you come here, looking at this child, a VAS below 4 and a comfort below 17, there's no direct action at the moment. But once you're not very comfortable and you think, well, listen, this child, I'm not sure, you can always do your comfort score. It doesn't mean that you have to do the comfort score only once in a shift, three times in a day. No, whenever you think I'm going to need it, you can do it. So this comfort score is developed in luckily in the hospital I work now since 1 year, and I think it's a very good example of a personal bias to evidence-based practice as we work on the intensive care units. And I've just put you the email address if you have any questions or about this comfort behavioral score, which is validated in the Netherlands for children between 0 and 3 years post-operative. I know meanwhile a few intensive care units use this score for older children as well, but it is not validated yet. I have a few minutes for a presentation. Yes, we have to wait a few seconds because the CD-ROM is coming in. And it's just it's just to show you implementing a new pain instrument in practice is not easy at all. You cannot implement or use the comfort behavior scale or any scale only with two nurses. You need to implement this in the whole team. And this implementation process is rather difficult sometimes. We have done this successfully in a few intensive care units in the Netherlands. But I tell you, I was working in one of them, and it was not an easy thing to implement directly because we have so many nurses, so many different opinions, and some nurses would say, nah, that takes too long time, I'll just give morphine directly, or some nurses would say, oh, well, it's a good tool, I see much more as pain. So what this hospital, the Erasmus University, has developed a sort of educational CD-ROM. It says the comfort behavior scale, what is it? And then it comes down here. It shows the 6 items. Let's say for the respiratory response, those children, you have number 1, you can fill in with no spontaneous respiration, or fight again the ventilator. You have another movie here. So that goes through all the steps through the comfort scale as well. There is some background information, the implementation process, it can be downloaded here directly. So this is an educational CD-ROM developed, and I have to quit it now because I just would like to say that, yes, and then I have to go back to the presentation. I just like to say for those interested and would like to implement a comfort scale in your unit, just write an email to Patricia van Deventer. She would be happy to assist you anyway. So coming to my end of the presentation, pain assessment is extremely important in my opinion, but it's also extremely difficult. Validated tools, using validated tools is very important to not only to document, definitely to document, but it gives the nurses an argument to go to the physician. Listen, I have used this tool. My patient is in pain. We need to change our pain medication now. Yes or no? You have hard evidence. You have figures to collaborate with your doctors. And say, listen, we need to sit down and discuss our pain management with this patient. I think you're all going to use any good related pain skill in your units, and the aim is that we just, I hope you think you use it because of this child who's saying, and I need some music. Have you music? Well, thank you very much for your attention.
Grazie, Eos, sicuramente emozionante.